I'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of Two Men in a Bible, Fighting the Cosmic Battle. My name is Jamie Sanchez, and again, I'm joined by Pastor Bob Brandon as we dive into the Word of God and really dissect the literature, you know, under your tutelage, right?
Well, as best we can. I like that phrase, though, Jamie, you know, dive in. In some ways, I like that as much or more than dissect. Because I was always so fond of water growing up and still am. I mean, that's when I'm most at peace, you know, when you're just floating in some nice body of water. And the Word of God is like that, upholds our lives, sustains us. So, you know, other metaphors in the Scripture are like it's a meal.
Right.
In the New Testament, the water imagery, of course, with Jesus in John chapter 7, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, and so on. So I like the way you said that.
Well, and with what, you know, keeping along with what you were saying, you know, in the way that we're going to take, you know, the next segment that we're working on, it's like small sections but big bites.
It is, yeah, to switch that metaphor over to the meal one, that's right. There's a ton in this, and in some ways, you know, I feel somewhat compelled to leave it open to individual study. If anyone, you know, listening to us, please don't be confused that we're like the final word on this stuff. We're learners along the way, and we could go over this hundreds of times and find something new each time. So it's not an exhaustive study, and still we're compelled to get the meaning out there, but also we're compelled to make it all the way through the Scripture. So we got to keep moving forward. But this is a meaty section, as you said.
So where are we kicking off today, Bob?
Verse 4 of Leviticus chapter 23.
I'm there.
And I don't want to take the time to set the table on the complete book of Leviticus, so we'll just trust our listeners to be aware of that, as we've talked about that in podcasts past. So let's read Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 8, and we'll talk about them.
Okay.
These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. And on the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. So that's Leviticus 23, 4 through 8. Now let's talk about some stuff that's down there. Okay, it's in a broad way, not yet the specifics of the text, but rather some of the theological ideas that are right on the surface here.
Well, and I'm glad we're going to do that, Bob, because as a lot of these passages, I read that if I'm like, you know, our listeners are like me, you know, when we read this, we go, okay, well, all right. You know, that's okay. We'll go on and move on to the next little section.
Yeah, next passage. That's right.
So I'm glad we're breaking it down, and I'm sure our listeners are as well, because I'm sure there's plenty in there to delve into.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I often look at the clock and go, someone might think, you know, you got five verses here that took about 30 seconds to read that, so maybe 5 minutes and then we'll move on. And I'm like, I don't think we can do this in an hour.
Right.
I mean, there's so much in that thing. So let's read from our favorite author for the book of Leviticus. And by the way, even saying that, just as a reminder to ourselves and our listeners, there are so many phenomenal scholars that God has gifted not only the church but the world with. Not all of these guys are believers. Who we read from, Alan Ross is. But there's so much scholarship out there that we have available to us. So when I say we're going to read from Alan Ross, he's not the only great scholar. But I can say this about him. I'm not sure anybody knows Leviticus more than him.
Gotcha.
And he's great. So, and he's been able to put it in ways that we can all grasp. So I'm just going to read for a few minutes from Alan Ross. And what he has listed in concerning this section is about 7 points that we need to be aware of theologically for this material.
So then our listeners should pull their notes out right now. Isn't it a good time to write?
I'm not sure. I know some of our legs. I know some of these guys personally. I know some of them are note takers. And, you know, they have literally by this point in the podcast filled up multiple notebooks. So game on for those guys. Here you go. Get ready to write. And if not, if you're just listening, I mean, whatever way you get it down, you know, whatever works for you. I was not a note taker in school because I thought, if I take the time to write this down, all my brain's working on is writing it down. And I sort of lose the flow of what's going on. So I always just listened. But many people, especially with a podcast, you could stop it, start it again, you know. So here we go. Here's point number one. A holy calendar reminded the people that time belonged to God. I'm not going to read the rest of that note for now, but think about it. This is a section of Leviticus where Moses, under the Lord's inspiration, is laying out how the year is ordered. So like in the States here, right, we've got what we call the holiday season. We got Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then New Year's, and that's all within 5 weeks, right? And it sort of, our year builds around that. Okay, so this is Moses laying out the whole thing for them, but there's harvest things included and so on. So anyway, the first point to consider is that time belongs to God.
Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second, because, wow, I'd have never, number one, got that out of there, but now that you've
opened... He's ordering the calendar.
Well, and we haven't really gotten that to this point. We've really gotten the sense that, you know, why? Because I am the Lord God, and we've gotten the sense that he is showing his power, and glory at the same time. But I'd never really, you know, up to this point in the book, you don't really get the concept that time is his. Now let's flash forward to today. Has that changed?
No, of course not.
No. But what do we use, you know, we control our time, right?
I know. So you're already jumping into these applications, and I know because you're a coach and you want to get on the people. Just let them chew on that for a while.
Well, hey, no, and even not from that standpoint, but I hadn't even thought about it. And today, in today's standpoint, we're so distracted.
Yeah, there are so many. Such a fast-paced society.
Yeah. That it's hard to even think that God is in control of time.
Oh, yeah, think of those. Remember back to our passage, not Alan Ross now, but the passage, do nothing on this day. No laborious work.
Right.
And a week from then, no laborious. Like, what's he want you to do? Kick back and think about him.
Yep.
Right? Okay, so, but let me read
okay.
On. A holy calendar reminded the people that time belonged to God, the week, the month, the year. In fact, the morning and evening oblations attested that the days were his as well. So Israel was taught that every time, everything in time, belonged to the Lord. Number two, a calendar of agricultural festivals reminded them that all of nature belonged to God. They were supposed to acknowledge at each festival that the harvest was his. Okay, so is that just the 24 hours of the day? It's spring, fall, summer, winter. That's all his.
So is our culture just dense, Bob? I mean, did the readers of this, did they get
I
that?
I think so. I think they picked up way more than we think they did. I think they got things like that. What the verse that has always given me great assurance concerning just that thought is when you get to the Psalms, and David knows the Mosaic material. Okay, mm-hmm. He knows the law. And David says, again, by the inspiration of the Lord, whole burnt offerings and sacrifices you have not required, but a contrite heart and a broken spirit. Those.
Wait a second.
It looks like you got about a couple hundred pages there saying that is what he wants. And it's not. They knew that. They were looking much deeper. And so these guys would look at it that way. Okay, I mean, we are going to do these feasts. Mm-hmm. Here's Pentecost coming up, and here's the harvest feast, here's the Passover, here's unleavened bread. They are literally going to do that, but they would think long and hard about why they were doing that. I mean, our kids have a basic understanding of what Thanksgiving is, right?
Sure.
Oh, this is back with the pilgrims and this and that. They have a basic understanding of that. And we're not a good culture about teaching our kids stuff. Israel was.
Right.
And they thought through these things. Here's the third point. A seasonal calendar taught the people that God established times for recreation. He set the pattern of the seasons with times for sowing and for harvesting, for labor and for rest. Each festival provided rest and rejuvenation for the land, the animals, and the people.
And obviously there with the recreation, I mean,
that's what we talked about Sunday, right?
Yeah.
He's about perfecting, recreating us. We'll talk about that more at a later time. Fourth point. Through the requirements of the holy calendar, God established and maintained his people as a community of believers. Coming together at the festivals was an important part of the shaping of that community. See, once they come into the land, this Leviticus, they're on the move. They have just come out of Egypt. They're nowhere near settled in their land. That's not for another 40-plus years, maybe 80 years, given the years of conquering it took them. So when they do settle, all this stuff was to happen around the central location, eventually the temple. So everybody in the country has to get together for this. It's not like we have Thanksgiving at best with our grandparents or something. You know what I mean? Maybe three generations will get together. But we don't get together as a nation. Imagine if everybody in the United States for one season of the year goes to Washington, D.C.
And
we all celebrate together something like Thanksgiving or Christmas, the whole nation together. And you would have people that lead our nation stand up and read our Constitution to us. That's what they would do eventually at the temple. There's wonderful wisdom in that. We're not even close to that.
No, not at all.
And it's a great thing that they had set up, and not completely unique. The surrounding nations would have very similar
and
times.
And the feast and the celebration itself was important in their cultures, right?
Oh yeah, tremendously so. So let's move on. So the next point, number five, from Alan Ross: observing the calendar of festivals preserved Israel's heritage. Each of the festival times was connected to major events in the history of the nation. And by reliving those events, the people preserved their national identity. Number six, the gatherings of the whole nation brought greater praise and glory to God. These were the high points of worship of Israel. Local gatherings were important to the communities, but the great gatherings invigorated the faith. Number seven, the festivals in the year charted the essential aspect of God's redemptive work. Year by year, God's saving acts were reenacted, beginning in the spring with the deliverance from bondage by the blood of the Lamb, followed by the purging of corruption for a life of purity, the celebration of a new life given to God, and the guidance and instruction given to that life. At the end of the year came the summons to enter his presence, followed by the removal of all sin by full atonement, and then finally entering the fulfillment of the promises with great joy. So Those are 7 points from Alan Ross to keep in mind, to have floating around in your mind while you read passages such as Leviticus 23. So let's talk a little more about some of the specific theology here. The main focus of this passage is the meaning of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover was the festival of freedom for the nation. Its theological ideas, therefore, include redemption, judgment, and freedom. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was a time to purge leaven from the houses. Here, the exposition will have to explain how this signified the holiness expected from those whom the Lord redeemed. So the two big ideas in this passage, in addition to the ideas of time and convocation that we just discussed, are redemption, i.e., you know, freedom mm-hmm. from slavery, and cleaning out your house. Unleavened bread, get rid of the leaven for this week.
For these two feasts.
For these two feasts, these first two that are described here. Remember the one that set the table for all of this discussion was the Sabbath. Okay, now we're getting Passover and unleavened bread.
And these are the first things that they're to celebrate.
Yeah.
The year starts in.
That's right. Freedom and then clean your house. Now how applicable is it? You don't even feel like going on, you know. You
right?
feel like shutting your book and going, I need to go do that. Like,
right now. Right now. Better get to work.
And how do people say, I just can't read the Old Testament? And you're going, are you kidding me?
Right.
These are the basics of how to live. You know, we don't have to go to Jerusalem and go do Passover. But the principle, you know, celebrating freedom. Think of the day that you came to faith. I remember
mm-hmm.
that day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the day I personally came to faith. And I'll tell you, sincerely, peace and freedom were just flowed through your heart. It's like,
it's like that whole backpack of rocks you were carrying is gone.
I am released. It doesn't mean I'm going to lead this happy, pleasant life.
Right.
You know, that life's going to be easy, but I'm free from what bound me. And to celebrate that, you know, to remember our days of release and freedom, it's awesome. And you know what comes with that? I know I'm sidetracking us just a little, but it's important to do from time to time on these podcasts. Again, it's our goal to stick closely to the text, but you know, I've always been amazed that with animals that have been chained for most of their existence, even when you cut the chain, they still act like they're chained. That's all they've ever known.
Elephants, great example of that.
And I wonder how many Christians live that kind of life, even though they've been set free. Literally, Luke chapter 4, Jesus preaches out of Isaiah 61 and says, you know, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. And I wonder how many people experience their freedom. I mean, they know, you know, they've come to faith, they've been released, but they're not living like they've been released. Same patterns, same bondage to the same sins, just out of habit. And you just want to shake these guys sometimes or you know, to use a, to just comfort them, just hold them and say, you don't have to do that. You know, you are free.
Well, and jumping forward in the text quite a ways, am I correct in remembering, was it John that said our goal is to live a quiet life?
No, that's Paul.
Paul.
Thessalonians. Make it your ambition to lead a peaceful, quiet life.
Yeah. You know, and when we get into the concept of, okay, God owns all time. All time is God's.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, when you really put that into context and you really try and wrap your brain around that, then really what is there not to be peaceful about?
No.
What is there not
That's
to
right.
celebrate?
That's right. But we're, Understood, exactly, but we're bombarded by the world.
Oh, nonstop.
You know, it puts pressure on us that God's not putting on us.
Mm-hmm.
So, how about if I just review this so we have some sense of their calendar?
Okay.
Again, I encourage listeners to just get out at some sort of Bible study work that will list for you, and there are plenty, that'll give you a Jewish calendar. You know, here's how they saw the year. Here's their year broken down by feasts and so on. But
and keeping in mind the recreation and that
theme
part.
Starting the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. So Passover came in the spring. It was at the first of the year for them. It's basically March, April for us, somewhere in there, with the barley harvest, and was followed immediately by the 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's all in the passage we just read.
Mm-hmm.
And the beginning of the Feast of First Fruits in the same week. The next main festival was the Feast of Weeks, which came 50 days, i.e. Pentecost, later at the time of the early summer wheat harvest. Three more festivals came together in the fall during the harvest of summer fruits and olives. New Year's, that's Rosh Hashanah, and Tishri the first. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, on Tishri 10th, and the first of Tabernacles, Sukkot is what the Hebrews would call that, or ingathering, beginning on Tishri 15th. So that's just a broad overview of their major holidays, but interest, you know, it's
is that a full year?
Well, it would come around to that, right? So,
Now, so if recreation is the goal, am I even looking down the right path? If I look at the recreation, hence the word recreation, and that's why the feast is important?
In other words, let's think about Passover for a second, because we've covered that in detail in the podcast. That's Exodus.
Sure.
Right? That's the first half of the book of Exodus. So it's, what are the ideas in your mind with that? I mean, you remember that material. For me, you know, it's
God setting apart his...
Yeah, it's my... You have my people.
Right.
You know, somebody else is claiming dominion over my people.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let him go. And here's Pharaoh going, you know what? I'm king, not you. And these are my slaves. And you got God going, oh, well, let's just see about that. You know,
yep.
Let's have a little showdown here. So God's sovereignty, the freedom of God's people, you know, being released from slavery to another master into slavery to the true master, which in that sense really isn't slavery.
Correct.
You know, it's freedom
right.
to be what you were made to be. Those are the ideas to me, you know, with recreation. It's you are my people, now I'm going to redeem you, now I'm going to buy you back again. It's like you're doubly mine. So Passover to me is just like this huge image of salvation itself. So John, the Gospel of John, for instance, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, I mean, you have the greatest preacher ever, according to Jesus, and he had two points. This is all he ever made to all the people. Repent, the kingdom of God is here. That's point number one. And behold, the Lamb of God that takes
right.
away the sin of the world. So Passover, right?
Right.
That's his whole message. I had two things to say.
Well, and the other thing that, so it's not only, if I'm hearing this correctly, it's not only the celebration of what God has done for the people up to this point, but it's also celebrating the fact that they belong to Him.
Oh, yeah.
There is, you know, as you put it, it's not slavery to him. You know, slavery to him is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But that they belong to him, that it's not just that, hey, we're going to celebrate my greatness. That's not all that God is saying here, is, you know, we're going to celebrate who I am. yes, we are, but we're going to celebrate who you are through me. Am I?
Yeah, that's right. But it's also this going over it again, right? Every year, go back to this point and remember your salvation, you know, my setting you free. And I don't think that's just for the year. In other words, not once a year do this. Right. It's once a year, make sure you do this. We're not going to have this big feast mm-hmm. about this. But it's this big kickstart to your own progress in the faith that we should be remembering that all the time. In other words, you know, one way to look at it, Jamie, is like the day of victory for the Lord in your life. You know, don't ever forget that you've already won.
Well, and as we talk, they didn't have math class, reading, writing, history. They had Bible as they were growing up. I mean, is it in their whole culture?
Yes.
That we're created in the image of God.
Let me show you this.
Going back that far.
Yeah, but let me show you how much this pervades their thinking. So take somebody like Paul.
Okay.
Let's come forward 1,500 years. 1,500 years later, you have a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, Paul, who's become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's dynamic. He's God's chosen instrument to fully reveal the Christian faith to people more than any other author. I mean, right up there, I just said more,
books,
but
right?
Him and John, yeah, he and John. There's others, of course, but anyway, to fully explain the Christian faith. So just take a book at random, like 1 Corinthians, you know, was Paul steeped in the law? Like, did it form the structure of his thought in his brain? So check out this passage. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. Don't worry too much about the context yet. Where we're really headed is verse 7, but I'm giving you a little running start. Paul says this to the Corinthians, "For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you're assembled, and I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." It's like in the same sentence, he associates cleaning out the old leaven, in other words,
the recreation.
Yeah, you know, remove sin from your life and Christ's Passover. Now, where did he first learn that? Leviticus chapter 23. It's the foundation for what we read in the New Testament.
And so for them, it's doing the same kind of thing, I'm guessing, that it's doing for me. It's kind of just like clicking things together. So when Jesus came and fulfilled the prophecies and what they'd been studying, where you're reading from then, I mean, their minds were already blown. And now they're going, okay, whoa.
Yeah.
But it is that recreation, and as we've talked many times before, it's that being born again, which is born from above, but you have to be born again. It's
yeah.
that recreation.
And when we say recreation, you know, think of, let's just review for our listeners what we're talking about. So here's Adam formed from the earth. And as God knits him together, you know, perfectly forms a human being, he's still dead because he's just earthy at that point. And what first initiates or brings life to Adam is when God breathes into him. So that's the creation, God's breath into Adam. The recreation, Genesis 3, we got separated from God. We decided to go our own way. Okay, now God has to recreate that. And his breath, his spirit being put back into mankind is often pictured by a dove, like you have at the flood, Noah sending a dove out to see if it's safe. Dove returns with an olive branch, you know, signifying a new beginning. Jesus comes thousands of years later, and a dove descends on him, you know, the Spirit descends on him. So the Spirit, i.e. the breath of God, coming into mankind is what recreates him ever since Genesis chapter 3.
So and that's what
you and I, in a sense, have been recreated. So, yeah, the Passover was a recreation. You know, I'm bringing you back to freedom.
Right.
So,
and it's not just a remembrance. It's
a celebration. It's a remembrance, but it's not just that. Like you said, it's a celebration. It's a kickstart. Yeah. You know, it's a remember your new beginning.
It's almost like that fire inside that gets stoked.
Stoke it up. Put a new log on there, you know. Yeah. Just heat that thing up again. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Because the world dims it out, you know. The
sure.
world just puts a wet blanket on our spirit. And God's constantly about stoking that fire.
Oh, yeah, the world just really tries to dampen our spirits.
So that's why it's important as we go over material like Leviticus, the heart of the law in the Old Testament. In other words, you know, one of our constant burdens is that don't be defeated by this material. Get somebody with you that can walk you through this, because it's the foundation for all that we believe.
Well, and let me ask you, let me throw this out, Bob. So, you know, I'm sure you've heard this question before as you've been discussing the truth with other people. But how about those newcomers to faith, or those people that have come to faith that say, well, you know, I really don't want to read the Old Testament because in the New Testament there was a new covenant made, so this old stuff is no longer in play.
Yeah, I would just say... I'm sort of laughing at myself because I'm not the best conversationalist about those subjects, you know.
Right.
I mean, I'll never be anything more or less, really, than a coach. And, you know, you get some questions sometimes from your coachees, and you're just shaking your head.
Right.
You just want to, you don't even want to answer it as much as you want to spank them.
Right.
You know, move them forward. But that can be a very honest question. There's a very honest side to that. So it depends on the situation how I might answer that. Again, to repeat one of the answers we've said on our previous podcasts, I got adopted into a family. I wasn't Jewish by birth. Christianity's Jewish. Our Savior Jesus Christ from the tribe of Judah, he's Jewish. Okay, I got adopted into that tree. For me, or I say tree because that's the imagery Paul uses in Romans, you know, that Gentiles were grafted into a Jewish tree. So I'm mixing metaphors, but for me, it's very important to know my family. And Israel's the family I got adopted into.
How do you know that family if you don't?
Yeah, I mean, I want to know what was it like with Dad, you know, a couple thousand years ago. I want to know that.
Right.
So that's one reason why I would say it's so important. You know, the other reason, it just gives you such a deeper perspective on what's happened in your own life. And you just have explicit statements in the New Testament that the Old Testament was written for our instruction.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of compelling reasons to know this material.
Well, and I think a lot of times a lot of us will take that, and I'm going to call it a crutch because I am a coach, and that's the way I look at it. But they'll take that crutch and they'll say, you know, I don't really need to go through that. But I see it exactly as you've just shared, in that how can you really profess to believe this part if you don't know this part?
Yeah. And also, I mean, we're speaking now like in practical ways,
mm-hmm.
but consider this as well as a semi-answer to that question. That is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And that is described in the New Testament as living and active. You can hear His voice in
right.
that material. So in some ways, you know, why should I read? Because it's God talking.
Right.
That's why.
Right.
Now, what they're really asking is, what kind of sense does that make to me in a 21st century culture?
Right.
Well, okay, a ton, and we need to explain that. But deeper than that, that's God talking. And though our cultures are different, there's similarities, there's continuity in all cultures. God is still a person. We are still people. So a lot of those ideas transfer directly to us.
Right, right.
So,
you know, in our calendar year where we're at right now, not that we follow that in the podcast, but we just celebrated Easter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our God, our Savior is alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, without, I know for me, Bob, without this knowledge, and I just threw that question out because I hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is a way to kind of, you know, I don't want to put it this way, but shortcut the system and say, okay, well, I'm just going to start with the new covenant.
Yeah.
You know, and not saying that there wasn't a new covenant made, because there was.
Yeah.
And, but without the knowledge of this, how do you even understand the new covenant?
Yeah. Well, you're right. And also, let me add one more perspective, because in a sense, we've answered from a practical perspective. From a sense, we've answered from a theological perspective. You know, it's God talking and so on. Here's a philosophical perspective. The person who has the power to declare the past has the power to determine the future.
Mm.
And if you don't know your past, someone will declare that for you and thus will steer your future.
Mm-hmm.
Very important material in the Old Testament to know where we came from and what was going on.
Well, and even to take it, you know, before we close up tonight's podcast, even to take it even a little more layman. How many of us have a favorite football team, baseball team, basketball team that we know all the statistics of all the players and what years they won? And we know everything about that culture,
yeah.
that team, that organization. This is the winning team right
yeah.
here.
Well, but okay, but let's beg this question.
Okay.
So why do you know that about your favorite teams? Do you feel like someone was standing over you with a ruler slapping your hand if
no.
you didn't, like a classroom, learn about your favorite teams? Why did you learn about them?
Desire to know more about the team that you're rooting for.
Okay, and my word for that is I would say you're passionate
right.
about your team, so you want to know everything about them. If you're passionate for God, why wouldn't you want to know everything about Him that He's revealed? And if you're not passionate for God, then we got a different discussion we need to have. Because there's no sense being passionate about anything else.
Right.
Unless you are first passionate about Him.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, Baba, I appreciate tonight's podcast so much because, you know, when I read through that and I knew you were just going to go short tonight, and I'm like, all right, Bob's going to take me in big, big bites tonight. I'm like, okay, I don't get it. I don't see what He's going to be pulling out of this tonight. And now I understand, but that's why it's so important that we immerse ourselves into the Word, that we're not just
yeah.
reading it and taking it on, you know, surface value.
Yeah.
That we immerse ourselves, try and put ourselves into the perspective of the reader.
Yeah.
And then also try and put ourselves in the perspective of the author.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
right. The inspirational author that
yeah.
is trying to communicate to us
yeah.
through basically the only way he can.
Yeah, and you know what's exciting for me? Is people will pick this up over time, but sometimes it's interesting just to hear a teacher express their own goals.
Sure.
So for me, my goal with teaching the Word of God through whatever venue, whether it's the podcast or at church or with a guy at work, you know, anybody, anywhere, my goal is to deliver to them raw material such that they can take that into their relationship with God. My goal is not to stand between a person and God.
Right.
My goal is to get out of the way, but to introduce, you know, this person to God in a way that they're bringing something to the table when they listen to him.
Absolutely.
In other words, I have complete respect for every person whom I've ever spoken to. I mean, I'm not the answer. I'm just trying to give people the raw material by which they can take that and approach God. And that's what I hope every listener does. I mean, their relationship with him is unique, is different than my relationship with him. It's different than your relationship with him. It's theirs. It's intensely private and personal. God is at work in that person's life and heart, and I completely honor and respect that. So all I want to do is facilitate their relationship with God. And to do that, I feel like handing on some raw material.
Yeah.
So that's what I feel like we're doing with the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. And I hope our listeners appreciate it. And I know I do. You know, I've grown so much, and I've got so far to go. But it's really, to me, comforting as you go through things like we're reading, and you gain a greater understanding, you know, and it really does. It's like, wow, this is my family tree.
It's exciting to grow.
Yeah.
It's exciting to grow in passion. And we can't always supply the passion, but what we can supply is like the fertilizer.
Sure.
For that growth. So let's say a prayer. Lord, we love you. We're thankful for all of your work. We're thankful for your never-ending love and faithfulness to us. So, Lord, as we pursue you with passion, grow us in knowledge of you and in faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.